And tonight I'd like to begin the message with a story. It happened during the Civil War in the United States. A farmer by the name of Blake was drafted to be a soldier. He was deeply concerned about leaving his family because his wife had died. No one to support and take care of his children in his absence. The day before he was to leave for the army, his neighbor, by the name of Charlie Dorham, came to visit him. He said, "Blake, I've been thinking. You're needed here at home, so I've decided to take your place." The farmer was so overwhelmed. We having some problem? Are we good? He was speechless. The offer was too good to be true. He grasped the hand of the young man and praised God for this one who was willing to go as his substitute. Charlie went to the front lines, and he performed his duties nobly. But sad to say, he was shot and killed in the first battle. When Blake heard about this, he immediately saddled his horse and rode out to the battlefield. After searching for some time, he found the body of his friend. He arranged to have it buried in the churchyard near the spot where they had often stopped to talk after church services. On a piece of marble, he carved an inscription with his own hands. It was roughly done, but with every blow of the hammer on the chisel, tears fell from his eyes. He placed the marker on the grave of his devoted substitute. Many villagers wept as they read the brief but touching inscription. "He died for me. He died for me." I'm going to spend some time in the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 53 has been called the Mount Everest of messianic prophecy. Warren Wiersbe, commenting on this, states, "Like Mount Everest, Isaiah 53 stands out in beauty and grandeur, but only because it reveals Jesus Christ and takes us to Mount Calvary." Isaiah 53 is the heart of the gospel. And the heart of the gospel is in verses 4 through 6. Are we okay? Okay. We're in Isaiah 53, which is the heart of the gospel. And verses 4 through 6 is the heart of the heart. There we read these words: "Surely our griefs he himself has bore, and our sorrows he has carried. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace fell upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We, everyone, has turned to his own way, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer? Lord, this is holy ground. And again, I just don't think the enemy wants us to hear these words. And I just pray against, I'm thankful that he is defeated. You defeated him, Jesus, at the cross. And I will pray now, Lord, that you would, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to our hearts. That you would help us to catch a glimpse of your Son, the Lord Jesus, and what he did for us on the cross. Help us, Lord. Open the eyes of our heart that we might see Jesus. I pray in his name. Amen. In these verses, three verses, we see Jesus as our substitute. On the cross, he was a substitutionary sacrifice. He died for me. And he died for you. First, consider with me just the statement of substitutionary sacrifice. Again, when we say that Jesus was a substitutionary sacrifice, we mean that he died in our place. Surely, our griefs he himself bore. And our sorrows he carried. The word our, just in verses 4 and 5, occurs 5 times. Our griefs, our sorrows, our transgressions, our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace. And this is all pointing to the fact that he suffered in our place. It says our griefs. Literally that word means sicknesses. He himself bore. And our sorrows, our pains, he carried. And this is possibly viewing sin as a hideous disease or sickness of the soul. Isaiah describes sin this way in the first chapter of Isaiah in verse 5. There he says these words. He writes that the whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint. In applying this verse to Jesus, Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, writes this. He, Jesus, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his stripes we are healed. But when he bore our sins in his body on the cross, he uses the word here, our griefs, our sickness, our sorrow. He's specifically referring to the consequences of sin. If sin had not entered the human race, there would be no sickness, no sorrow, no pain. And Jesus took upon himself not only our sin, but all the consequences for our sin. All the guilt, all the pains. This very verse is applied to healing ministry of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 17, he healed all that were ill. This was to fulfill that which was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. He himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. A commentator by the name of Young states The figure of sickness here used to refer to sin itself. The verse also includes the thought of the removal of the consequences of sin. He bore the sin that is the cause of all the evil consequences and thus became our substitute. Jesus died for us. What he did for us. What he suffered was for us. The pain and the brutality and the indignity of the cross, it was for us. Jesus is our substitute. He died for me. And he died for you. But there was misunderstanding of the substitutionary sacrifice. Because it says that he bore our griefs, he carried our sorrows, yet we ourselves deemed him stricken of God, smitten of God and afflicted. You see, I think we ourselves there is referring to the Jewish people, to the nation of Israel. When Jesus came, their blessed Messiah, they did not recognize him. They did not receive him. And they totally misunderstood the cross. When they saw how much Jesus suffered, they did not understand that his suffering was vicarious. That is, he was suffering for their sin in their place. They looked at his extreme suffering and thought he was being punished by God for his sins, his own sins. And they thought his sins must be really terrible, for God must really have it in for him to allow him to suffer to that extent. He was stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Actually, they should have looked at Jesus and his severe suffering and saw their own sin. They should have seen their own sin and have been aghast at their own sin and filled with loving admiration for him, the innocent sin bearer. When we look at the cross tonight, we should see our own sins. Because our sins nailed him to the cross. He bore our sins on the cross. We should look and see and be horror-stricken at the hideousness of our sins. They totally misunderstood the suffering of Christ on the cross. They thought Jesus was dying for his own sins and that God was punishing him for his own sins. Jesus was and is the misunderstood Messiah. They didn't understand that Jesus was a substitutionary sacrifice. He was dying for them. We must understand this. He died for me. And he died for you. Now the description here of the substitutionary sacrifice. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. It says, but, see, it's in contrast to their misunderstanding of his suffering. Here's the real reason. Do you want to know the real reason Jesus suffered and died on the cross? He was wounded, or more precisely, pierced through, leading to a violent death for our transgression. He was bruised, crushed, pulverized, broken for our iniquities. He was pierced and crushed for our transgressions and sin. The sins we committed were borne by the suffering servant. The punishment for our sins, He was pierced and crushed. His punishment was vicarious. He died in our place. Pierced and crushed may actually be referenced to Jesus' death by crucifixion. The psalmist David wrote of the cross 1,000 years before Jesus came. He recorded it in Psalm 22 when he wrote, and these are the words of Jesus, actually. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. They pierce my hands and my feet. I can count all of my bones. They look, they stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. He wrote 1,000 years before Jesus came, and he describes the cross. And that's what Isaiah does here in Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, pierced. It's as though David and Isaiah had front row seats at the crucifixion of Jesus. And Isaiah wrote 700 years before he came. But here he describes it. When Jesus went to the cross, he was pierced through for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities. He's our substitute. He died for me. And he died for you. Now, what were the results of this substitutionary sacrifice? It goes on to say, the chastisement of our peace fell upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. First of all, there are two results. First, he provided a way for us on the cross. He provided a way for us to have peace with God. Because of sin, there's enmity between God and man. There's alienation, separation, hostility between God and man. Sinners, listen, sinners are at war with God. And God is at war with sin. Because God is a holy God, he must punish sin. The Bible says, by no means will he clear the guilty. By no means will he allow the guilty to go unpunished. Sin causes separation. Separation between sinful man and a holy God. It produces enmity and eventually death. But on the cross, Jesus took the punishment we deserved for our sin. He took that punishment upon himself. The chastisement of our peace fell on him, so that our sin is paid for. And when we have faith in Christ, God is able to forgive us because the payment has been paid. God can now be just and the justifier of all who place faith in Jesus Christ. At the cross, Jesus made a peace treaty, and he signed it in his own blood. Colossians 1:20 says, he made peace through the blood of the cross. At the cross, God made his peace with men. And the question is, listen, have you made your peace with God? God made peace. Namely, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. He made peace. But man needs to turn and believe in the Lord and make peace with God. In his substitutionary sacrifice, he was punished for your sin that you might have peace with God. Listen, the only way anyone can have peace with God is through the cross. It's the only way. But one of the results, he provided a way to have peace with God. And he provided, praise God, a remedy for sin. By his stripes, we are healed. Again, 1 Peter 2:24 says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross that we might die to sin, live to righteousness. For by his stripes, we are healed. All of us who are true Christians have been saved from the penalty of sin. We've been saved. He took the penalty. And we are being saved from the pollution, the power, and the practice of sin. See, he died for sin that you and I might die to sin. And one day, we will be saved from the presence of sin. And that is all because of what Jesus did on the cross. Praise God. He is the remedy for sin. By his stripes, we are healed. He's the remedy. He is our substitute. He died for me. And he died for you. Now, the need, again, for a substitutionary sacrifice is emphasized. Someone might ask, well, why is all that? Why was the cross necessary? You know, I'm a pretty good person. I think I'm good enough to go to heaven. No, you're not. You see, it says here, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've all turned to our own way, or each one has turned to his own way. But the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. First of all, collectively, all mankind is sinful. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. We are all in the same boat. Everyone here. We all belong to a fallen, sinful race. We're all sinners by birth, by nature. Sheep that are prone to wander. It's our nature. We're born with a bent to sin. We are all born with rebellion in our hearts. Scripture says, by nature, we were children of wrath. Collectively, we're all sinners. Listen to this description from Romans chapter 3. There are none righteous. No, not one. There's none that understands. There's none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There's none who do good. Not even. Collectively, all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. But individually, we're all sinners. Each of us. See that? All we like sheep. That's collective. Each of us has turned and gone his own way. We're all sinners by birth. We're all sinners by nature. But at some point, each one of us appropriates that sin nature, and we become sinners by practice, sinners by choice. We all turn to our own way. We all do our own thing. We all sin by choice. And we're all guilty.
That's why we needed God to provide a substitutionary sacrifice. Christ, who had no sin, died in our place as our substitute for our sin. That's the gospel. That's the good news. The gospel is not that Jesus died. The gospel is that Christ died for our sins, according to Scripture. And on the third day, he rose again, according to Scripture. Hallelujah. Praise God. We needed a substitutionary sacrifice, and God provided Jesus. Praise him. He went to the cross, and he died for me. And he died for you. One last thing. The plan for the substitutionary sacrifice. You see, it says, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Or the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Who did this? The Lord did. God did it. God did it. The cross was God's idea. It was God's plan. The cross was not a mistake. It's not a tragic end to a wonderful life. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to be the suffering servant. Jesus came to earth to go to the cross. And God would put the sins of the world on him in our place. He died for our sins. This was God's plan. Acts chapter 2 in verses 22 through 24. It states, he was delivered up according to the predetermined plan of God. And he was nailed to the cross by the hands of sinful men. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that God made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. It was the plan of God. God planned the cross. God carried out the cross. The verse says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've each one turned to our own way, but the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. It begins with all. It ends with all. And someone has said, I went in bowing low at the first awe. And then I stood up and I walked out on that last awe. The first awe, we're all sinners. The last awe, Christ died for all our sin. If you enter in the first awe and you exit at the last awe, you're saved. Hallelujah. He died for our sins as our substitute. He died for me. He died for you. Let me just share a story. Stories told about a particular Indian tribe that was suffering from the effects of severe drought. Food was scarce, and the members of the tribe were beginning to steal from each other in order to survive. The chief knew that that would be the death of the tribe, so he issued a law that the next person caught stealing would be taken to the center of the village, tied to a pole, and publicly whipped. The next day, sure enough, a thief was caught. Everyone turned up to see who it was and witness the punishment. To everyone's shock, the thief turned out to be the chief's own mother, his mom. What was he going to do? He was a good chief, and he could not justly ignore the law that he had made the day before. He had to be just, but good grief, this was his mom, his own mom. She was old, she was frail. The beating could very well kill her. He loved her. How could he cause her to suffer? What would he do? Which would win? Love or justice? This is what he did. He ordered that his mother's wrists be tied to a pole so that the beating could begin. He called to the punisher to step forward, whip in hand. But before he gave the orders for the punishment to commence, he stepped in between his mom and the punisher. He stretched his broad shoulders across her frail back, and with her body completely protected underneath his own, he gave orders for the punishment to be carried out. As the cords of the whip fell, they fell on him, and he absorbed all the full brunt of her penalty. And that chief was just in carrying out the penalty, but he was loving as he suffered for his mother. God did that and much more for us on the cross. He gave his son. Jesus took our punishment of our sin. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace fell on him. And by his stripes, we are healed. He is our substitute. He died for me. And he died for you. Lord, thank you that you took our place on the cross. Thank you, Lord, that we just, Lord, we can't even begin to understand what you have done for us. Lord, it's beyond human words. And we just ask you, God, to, again, open our eyes that we might behold you, Jesus, our sinless substitute. And Lord, thank you for that great love. Thank you that you died for me, Jesus. And you died for those here tonight. We praise you. We worship you. In Jesus' name.